Well, I'm glad to be here. I was really looking forward to it. I was thinking about maybe last Saturday when I got home and I couldn't. And then Randy called and said he could speak. That was good. So I prayed all week. I said, Lord, I'd like to speak on Sunday. Normally on Labor Day, we're normally gone. This is the first Labor Day we've been here for several years. And so it worked out really well this year. I was thinking on my children. I can't think of enough, but also Zach, too. Him and Chad, they've just been doing so much. It's unbelievable. They don't see their wives for 3-4 days at a time because they're like taking care of me and Rebecca and stuff for those weeks. And so I really appreciate that, all what they've done. I don't know. I'm just thinking about this a lot. It's amazing with your brain and your mind. We are so fragile. The amount of hallucinations. Should I turn it on? Thank you. The amount of hallucinations that I had during the first week before I went to the hospital was pretty amazing. And then the first week and a half in the hospital, I hallucinated a lot. Then the last week, half a week, I didn't hallucinate near as much. It's amazing where your mind goes. Because as a believer, my mind was going towards theocentric things. And I don't really want to say that to be spiritual, because it sounds like it, but, you know, is my wife okay? Are my kids okay? You know, is my son going to make it? Is my church, are they going to be okay? Is somebody going to be able to speak on Sunday? We're going to have enough money to pay the bills. Are people going to know what's going on so that they're not worried? They know how to pray about this correctly. My patients. I did not see 120 patients. 112 patients in those 3 weeks and a half. And so now some of them are behind for 4, 5, 6 months. And I'm saying, God, I said, you got to help me do all this. And he kept on saying, stop. I hate the word stop. Yeah. Just like most of you guys, because you're still here. You're not sick. The half the church has had the cooties the last week, in and out of the ER and stuff. I mean, it's funny because I'm laying there, you know, for days, and it's like, Lord, I always pray for strength. I always pray for wisdom. I always pray for awareness. I always pray to be able to know what to do the right thing, to execute it. I always pray, and God, you always give me what I need every time. For 40 years, you've done that. But I can't pray that way right now. I can't get up and use the bathroom. I didn't take a shower for 11 days. I didn't eat for 7. I didn't go to the bathroom other than number one. I didn't do that for 8 or 9 days. I mean, and it was weird. And I'm not feeling sorry for myself. It was just weird. I mean, weird. I had people come in and talk to me that I know that I don't know, but I do know. And then some that I do. And it's like, God, what's next? He goes, I got this. I said, yeah, but I need wisdom and I need strength because I got to do. I got to get going. Just lay there. I said, what do I want to get? So he said, no, just lay there a little bit longer. So finally, I just laid there. And I got to watch enough ESPN to kill somebody. It's terrible, but the staff took good care of me. Staff took good care of Rebecca. She got COVID. She had pneumonia, and she was home for a while by herself, and the kids had come by and keep an eye on her, and she's still pretty weak, but she's hanging in there. Now she had me to deal with for the last week. But God knows what he's doing. In the meantime, I'm getting pieces. Lorraine's running into spider webs, and all kinds of weird stuff going on. And the Hunts are sick. Jim and Betty were there once and gone and back again, and Donna was in and out. Jim was back and forth twice, and it's like, why? Is this real? Is it not real? And I tell you, you really miss your mind when you don't have it. You know? And I don't want to experience that again. You know? That's just, you're very helpless. But it was funny. There's no fear. I can honestly tell you that. I'm in 1 Corinthians 15 today. I'll get there in just a minute. We won't be here long today. But there wasn't fear of dying. The doctor told me I had less than 50% chance of making it, but I did. But I wasn't afraid to die. I got a 60-year-old wife and kids, you know? And so after about the first week, it's pretty clear that I wasn't going to die. God said, you're not done yet, but you can't do anything anyway. You just got to lay there. Boy, that was hard. You're not going, you're not going to die. Okay. So I don't have to call my life insurance policy plan and make sure they're okay. But you're not going to do anything either. You're going to just be. My goodness. How horrible is that? How horrible is it just not to be doing, just to being? I hope I get used to that someday in a different place of my life, because that's what God has for me then. But man, that's difficult to do. It's very humbling. Now, is it humbling? It's, you have to reassess why. I don't know if some of you do that or not on your own. Do you wonder why you exist? Do you wonder why God made you, you as you are, when you are, and why you are, with what you have to do for Him, what He wants you to do? I think about that all day. That's my point, and that's my purpose. And then there are times you find out it's not your purpose. Just lay there, get better. So I find that really interesting to me, because I tell people this all the time, but to experience it's quite a bit different. I'm a lousy patient, I know, but I did the best I could. And for some reason, I'm still here. I'm glad I'm here on Sunday. Man, am I glad. I look so forward to coming to church today. I almost started walking, using the seat to go down the steps, and I looked at that, and I thought of Helen. I said, you know what? I think Helen would rather have both her legs cut off. I'm walking down the steps. So I was thinking about Helen all the way. We find ourselves today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I don't know if Jim or Zach spoke on 1 Corinthians 15 at the end last couple times or not. I'm not sure, but I just want to finish up today, a real short message today. The last time I was here was March the 8th, and we had 5 baptized that day. And it was a good day. It was a good day afterwards. But it's been a while. And we looked at the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we discussed the topic then, what happens to the body? We have to be resurrected. And without going into a whole lot of detail, the bottom line is we die, our souls go to heaven instantly at death, and our bodies are in the ground or whatever until they're resurrected. And the bodies aren't just these bodies made different. They are, but there's so much more. We just can't have a good picture of what's going on because it's too confusing to us. But when we die, our souls are in heaven. If you would have died last week or last month or tomorrow, your soul's going to be before Christ at the Bema Seat. But your body's on this planet until the rapture occurs. And when that rapture occurs, then your body is made like unto God's, like unto Christ's. It's joined with the spirit that's in heaven, and the two are put together as resurrection. And then we get to experience in heaven everything fully, which would imply that prior to the resurrection, we don't get a chance to explore and, you know, enjoy and be a part of everything completely. Because if it was complete, there would need to be a resurrected body and attachment to it to give us a sense of tactility, this touch that we don't understand right now. But that's what's going to happen. And Paul told that to the people, the first part of 1 Corinthians 15, that this was going to be the situation. So for all you that have died, your souls are in heaven. Your body is going to be resurrected to join the soul. Verses 51 through 58 answers the question, but what about all those of us that are still alive if the resurrection were to happen? And that's what verses 51 through 58 are. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now the Corinthians have been listening to Paul, and Paul has been writing to them now for several times, speaking to them on several occasions. And toward the end of this first book, he was trying to clarify what was going to happen if the rapture were to occur. Some people had quit working. Some people had quit living life because God was going to come again in the sky, so therefore they would be gone. I look forward to the rapture. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. Maybe it'll be 1,000 years. We don't know. It's imminent. There's no signs. But the rapture, the last trumpet says here, The last trump signified the end of a stewardship or of a dispensation of time, the church age. The last trump sounds, Christ comes in the air. His second coming is when he comes to the ground for the battle of Armageddon. But he comes before that in the air, and the trump is sounded. The dead in Christ, whose bodies are in the ground, but souls are in heaven, they raise. Those that are alive rise, and they're changed instantly. We're made into incorruptible as opposed to corruptible. Our bodies are dying. We're just made of skin and blood, you know? So it's made perfect. Our mortality, in which we can die, is changed to immortality. And that happens all in a blink and the twinkling of an eye. And we join those that are dead in Christ, whose souls are in heaven, whose bodies are raised, and those who are alive at the time are changed and resurrected instantaneously. And it's called the rapture. And it's a great piece of scripture. During funerals and sicknesses, just for common comfort. Verse 54 says, so when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and the mortal hath put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, don't quit doing what you're doing. Still teach. Still read the Bible. Still tell others about Jesus. I mean, truly, it's just amazing to me that this gets reiterated. I mean, I've been with dozens of people when they died. Some were screaming. Some were unconscious. Some were smiling. Some were horrified. And I don't even ever pretend to understand what's going on with their mind, except that I do think some people see the end before everybody else does. I do know that God is always there. And honestly speaking, whether you're 90 or 80 or 50 or 20 or 10, our life is about living with the peace and the acceptance and the privilege of being a child of God, so that we could do unto others what most humans won't do. God's made us his hands and feet. And we truly are alive until he says, come home. And then we have forever to bask in the beauty and the glory of our God. Anything in this world that takes away from our holiness with our God, from our peace with our Maker, the good, the bad, the ugly, anything that takes away from it can be a liability. I mean, God gives us husbands and wives because he loves us and the species. And he gives us children. And he gives us careers. And he gives us all of our lives. He even allows us to go through horrible, horrible things so that we can have a baseline of grace and peace and awareness and thanksgivings toward him. And he holds us through this. The person who really lives their life is the one who sees it, I think, in this perspective and is thankful for it, for their life, for their deaths, for their successes, for their failures, for their rises and falls, ups and downs, ins and outs. It is so easy to get inundated and pushed into the corner of now, to where we miss the big picture of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we can't let ourselves do that. It's really easy to. You got mortgages to pay. You broke your foot, husband and wife problems, car doesn't want to work, people are sick, job's messing with you. It's so easy to get pushed in that corner. Matter of fact, we've got to fight hard not to be pushed into that corner. We've got to fight hard to keep ourselves here because everything's pulling us away from the middle. But it is so nice to come back to the middle. This is the place of comfort. This is the place. And I remember as a 21-year-old seminary student, grad school student, speaking on this topic, knowing every single word is true, but it's different than when you're 50 or when you're 80. It's different to talk about how to raise children when they're one as opposed to when you're a great-grandpa. It's different. It's just different. And God knows that. He's going to put people in your midst to hear what they need to hear when they need to hear it from you as you can give it. God is sovereign. He's beautiful at that. He's perfect. But it is neat to know of everything that you read and watch, whether you're 70, 80, 40, every time you pick up the Bible, every time you read and pray, it can be different to you in how it touches you and how it makes you feel, the application of it. The truth doesn't change, but there's so many other ways to apply it and associate it because of your life. And that's an amazing thing to me. Nothing else really matters. Everything else is really cool. It can be really fun. It could be a career. It could be a life. Just don't let it be our life. Our life is about being light and being salt. And all these things God's given us in our toolboxes to be salt and light, hopefully we use them for those things and not just to build other things other than salt and light. And sometimes he has to remind us, as he's doing with the Corinthians, he really has let them have it for the last 15 chapters. They've messed up everything. But at the end of it all, it's going to be okay. Just know that you will be resurrected. In the meantime, keep that as your focus, so that when today is so overwhelming and when everything around you is so fragile and tangential to the situation, know that one thing never changes. I am. But God, who shall we tell you? What is your name? What's your name? Just tell them that I am. Ever perpetual, constantly in the present tense. I am. And that is our God. Whether we're 11 or 9, it doesn't matter. He's still our God. And he opens himself up to us as we can handle it. And that's a good thing, depending on what we got to go through. I'm glad to see everybody here today. I'm glad you're well. I'm glad you're feeling better. Pray for our sick. I've only been in town a couple of times these last few weeks, and I've heard about praying for Sitka from different avenues. COVID, all kinds of stuff, just all kinds of sickness in general. And that's going to happen. And this is a tough church. This church is, well, per capita, this church probably has less gallbladders than anybody else alive in the community. When it comes to missing body parts and a bunch of tough old dudes, I think that's what we are. And I pray for Betty, 85 years old, tougher nails. Pray for the whole clan. Continue to pray for my son. Continue to worry for him. Be strong. Pray for my family also. Pray for the Douglases. Just pray for all of us. We've got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of our folks are a little tentative about coming right now because we're spewing all this venom of yuck. And I don't blame them. Pray for them also. God's very gracious and he loves us. Boy, it sure is nice to ride along the top of the mountains, but we don't have real depth until we go down to the base. And that's where God likes us sometimes. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this time, Lord. God, thank you for loving us. The trials, the tribulations, the things you let us go through. God, you have the big picture and we don't. Lord, we just need centered sometimes. Sometimes you center us, sometimes you correct us, sometimes you love us and demonstrate it. God, and sometimes we don't know the difference, and sometimes we do. But Father, we thank you. I pray for our church this morning that you'd watch over our flock, that you'd strengthen them, give them peace, give them comfort, give them a sense of well-being, Lord, in you. And God, thank you for this. You should get all the praise and all the glory for all of it. And if you don't, Lord, we've missed the boat. So we want to thank you for that. Watch over us today. And God, thank you for loving us. In Christ's name, amen. Let's just close today by singing hymn number 454. It's the first verse, Trust and Obey. That is officially my shortest sermon in 40 years. We didn't have anybody in junior church today, did we?
No, I brought papers out, but they're just kind of listening.
Kind of hanging. Well, good. Well, it worked out pretty good then. Amen. Whew. Can you say it kicked your butt in church? Whew. I'm pooped. So, yeah. I'm glad to see you all here today. Every day is a good day. Glad you're all here. No Bible study tonight. It's Labor Day weekend. I think most of you have tomorrow off, so enjoy the day, and God bless all of you. And Zach, would you close us in prayer today, sir?
God, thank you for this story of redemption that you tell us, of corruption being conquered by you. Show it to us in nature, and show it to us in your word. And thank you for giving us the eye to see it, and to give you thanks all the way through it. Just pray that you'd be with us as we go out, knowing how this story goes, knowing the way that you created this nature, and the victory over it, that we would go out and tell that story indeed, in word. In your name.
Amen. Amen.